Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
And we are on a message series about gratitude, heart for the house, actually being thankful for this body of Christ. And we have a lot to be thankful for. Even if sometimes it's harder to find the things to be thankful for, we do have a lot to be thankful for. And if you think about the church at large, the history of the church has done a lot of great things for society. So on the big scale, we can be thankful for hospitals, for orphanages, for schools. You know, it was followers of Jesus who saw a need and they were like, boy, we need to do something about this. So this is why we have a lot of our infrastructure that we have in our society is because of the church. They saw a need and they also saw how let's equip people so that they can also take care of themselves. So we can be thankful for the church. Yes? All right. We can also, maybe on a personal level. I mean, JD shared his story last week, and that was so good about how the church affects our lives and actually creates these opportunities to grow and develop into the likeness of Jesus because of this community. And I know for myself, being raised in the church, I am so thankful, and God has been so gracious. I met my husband in church. I got to learn so much about what it means to be a follower of Jesus because of the church. And this church, City Life Church, I have raised my four children and seen them grow and develop. And you know, parents in the room, it is so great having someone else maybe even say the exact same things that you're saying, but they're saying it, and for some reason, it sticks. So it is so valuable to have the church to be able to grow our kids. If you've ever heard that phrase, you know, it takes a village. It does, to be able to grow and develop as followers of Jesus. Now, a main purpose of the church is actually to equip us for the works of service, the works of our ministry, which is often outside of these four walls. We've been talking about spheres. That's what we spent the last month on. We also started our sphere small groups, which we'll do again the 1st of November, where we gather with people who are hopefully in similar areas that we are, where we want Jesus to be in those areas. We want Jesus to be everywhere, so we got to take him with us, and having brothers and sisters to be able to work this out with is so helpful in our spheres of influence. And that's what we do on a Sunday. We gather, we celebrate, and there's equipping happening. I hope you feel equipped to take God to your sphere. Now, maybe if I asked you the question, are you thankful for the church? You would say, not really. This is, you know, the first time I've been back in a long time, and I just, you know, since I was hurt, since I was offended, since someone did something that actually bothered me. And the truth is, we are the church, but you know, we're not perfect. If you've ever, you know, being a friend to anyone, I know myself, I've let people down, I've hurt people. We're not perfect yet. Even like when Melissa prayed, we're not fully complete until we take our last breath. And so even as the church, I just pray that we continue to grow in his likeness. And that's, as we do community, that's what, you know, we refine each other so that we can become like Jesus and carry on his mission to the world. And every week that we gather, we look to the Holy Scriptures. This is called the Inherent Word of God. This is my new big Bible, and so I can't swing it around, which is kind of sad, but isn't it pretty? It came to my door around my anniversary, and I told Jeremy, my husband, this is what I got for my anniversary. Do you ever do that? Yeah, maybe? Okay. Anyway, so this showed up, and I have this beautiful study Bible, and this is The Word of God, it has no mistakes in it. And it is meant to lead us, to teach us, to train us. And when we gather together, we're meant to hear His Word and that it would transform us and ready and equip us for the work that He's called us to do. The Word of God is so good. And sometimes we can think of the Word of God as, you know, a historical document that was written so many years ago, thousands of years ago, actually, and feel like maybe it's not really relevant to my life today. And actually, I mean, the book that we're going to look at today, Paul is writing to the Ephesians. And the Ephesians, I mean, this is a world that has some similarities to what we experience today. You know, the things that we might struggle with in our own culture of materialism and secularism and government overstepping authority and all kinds of religions vying for dominance, intense immorality. So we think Paul had no idea the kind of age we were living in, but guess what? That's very similar to the audience that he's writing to. You know, they were a distinct minority in a rich, pluralistic, pagan, Roman, Greek culture struggle happening where ideas were vying for power. So this is a very similar atmosphere to where we find ourselves today. And the beauty of the Word of God is that it's living and active. The Holy Spirit that was there inspiring Paul to write these words, even though Paul didn't know about 2024 what it would be like exactly, the Holy Spirit did. So we can be sure that this word is for us to be able to know and be transformed. And that's the brilliance of the church, that Jesus would take or God would take all these differences, all these different backgrounds and ethnicities and whatever your past is, and He would say, you are one body under one head, which is Christ. How powerful. Well, I'm going to get you a little bit uncomfortable. I'm going to ask you to stand. I thought it would help even, you know, I don't know if you've had the turkey or if you're having it later, but the tryptophan, you know, it's a long weekend. I just want to chill out. I thought, let's stand while I read to you the Word of God. You can move your knees if you're having a hard time staying upright. Okay. It's a little long, but this is God's Word. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let us pray. God, thank you for your word. Jesus, I just pray that hearts would be able to hear what you have to say today. God, that you are the one who deposit seeds in our hearts that create harvest. And so God, I just pray for a harvest of your word this morning. As your word is planted, I just pray that even what I say that would be left to the side and what you say would be received. We just pray again that your presence would be known and that you would do the transforming work that only you can do. In your name, Amen. 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 You may be seated. I won't have you stand the whole time. I get to do that, which I prefer standing, you know? Anyway, so we're going to look at this scripture, and if you have your Bible, have those verses handy, that passage handy in Ephesians 4, because we're just going to work our way through it, and we're going to find nuggets. And the two that we're going to dig out of this passage is unity and maturity. So U-M. When you do public speaking, that's one of the things that you're supposed to get out of your head and not do, is do the Because people do that when when you're trying to find your next word. I've worked really hard to get rid of the Well, today I'm working hard to get it back in there so that when I say you'll be like, unity, maturity, unity, maturity. So why do we care about unity and maturity? Well, Jesus did, and he told us to do it. That's it. Yeah. Because we want to become like Jesus to carry on his mission to the world. So we better care about unity and maturity as a body of Christ. And again, that is the brilliance of the church. This is the Jews, which were God's people. And now the Gentiles are included? What? That is every other race. So that is all of us. We are to become one through the Spirit. And if you've been to a marriage ceremony lately, you might have heard the words, you know, when two become one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man separate. It's actually supposed to be this fusion of one flesh, this unity that happens within the body of Christ. And as a married couple, if you're newly married or you've been married for a long time in this room, your life as a married couple is meant to reflect Jesus and his church. It's actually supposed to be this beautiful thing of faithfulness, of working together, of learning the ins and outs of growing in unity and, please, Lord, in maturity. Right? It's like we all need a little bit more unity and maturity in our relationships. Yes. And Paul is wanting the Ephesians to know the utmost importance of unity. So verse 1 is just, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. So this is Paul writing, and he is actually in prison in Rome while he's writing this letter. So he thinks it's pretty important that this message get out. He's not sitting there feeling sorry for himself or, you know, like, whatever, marking the days on the wall. He is actually, they need to hear this message because I don't know when I'm going to be the next to be crucified. I better get this message out. It's of utmost importance. Paul goes on and says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. If you've been part of church for a while, I feel like you get this like itch to know your calling. Right. Yeah? Where it's just like, what is my calling? What am I called to? Can you just tell me, you know, where I'm going to go to school, what job I'm going to do, who I'm going to marry? I want to know all the things. What is my calling? And this scripture goes on to tell us a little bit about our calling, which is, verse 2, with all humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another. So, God might be more concerned with our character than our career. A little bit more concerned about who we are than what we do. He wants us to live as with these fruits of the Spirit. Like Galatians 5, this is part of those, where it's like, this is what's coming out of me, is this goodness of Christ within me. And I got to tell you, you know, I'm filled with the Spirit, but I get impatient, and I get harsh sometimes, and I get angry and don't respond well, but I'm a work in progress. Yeah. Praise be to God that he is so gracious and continues to forgive us. And like Monica said, never forsake us, but to continue saying, you know what? My Spirit is in you. I will continue to work that fruit out in you as we submit under his authority. Yeah. And this word humility, I heard the greatest definition a couple weeks ago about humility and how it's like power under control. There is something about this, I'm submitted to the authority of Christ, that actually puts what we have in us into his hands. I don't know if you've ever seen like an MMA fighter or maybe jiu-jitsu or karate. I mean, those guys are wicked awesome and they could just kill you, you know? If they wanted to, they could just do that. But yet, there is so much in that craft, I would call it, or sport, where there's so much about honor and respect and about coming under submission to authority. And you are, you know, you're like this walking, killing tool, but you have to know how to harness that power and how to best serve others, best serve the community. That's what we do, even as a body of Christ. We are careful with how we use our hands, like I'm, you know, in the preschool. Hands are for helping, not for hurting. You know, we say this because it's true. We want to grow this unifying factor where we don't just, you know, punch the person beside us because we're feeling it. And we also have to watch our words. We want to be careful with how we use our words because they can be very hurtful and harmful. But how can I serve the greater community in how I act as a follower of Jesus, bearing with one another in love? When I read this, I almost laughed out loud because the only time I've heard bearing is when you're bearing down to give birth to a child. That's the only time I've heard that word other than in the scriptures. And so I'm like, that is not like a super fun, easy time. I mean, it is empowering. It is wonderful. And I'm so excited for you, Amy, and anybody else in this room. But it's not exactly like easy. And so this is saying that it might take a bit of work to be able to work this out with all of us imperfect humans, even filled with the Spirit, to try and get this right. Verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, it takes work. And when we see this word peace in the scripture, we think of that word shalom. We've talked about this before. It's this completeness. It's this wholeness that we're meant to attain to. And it's the glue. The peace is the glue that keeps us together as a unified body of Christ. And we do not create unity as believers. We maintain it. The Holy Spirit says there's unity here. But we, in our imperfection, of course, we can see that there's a breakdown and we have to work to maintain this unity. Verse 4 and 5. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope, another thing about your calling that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Did anybody hear the two main words, catchwords in that scripture? All and one. That's right. All and one. Those are both unity and maturity words. This is a unifying thing where it's like we are all together one because we have the same head. We have the same Father. We have the same one who's in authority over us all. Ooh, and I have my little Lego guy. I wanted a giant one, but you know, you can see it. You can imagine it because you know Lego so well. I know you do. And this is our little guy who we would say he's in one piece. He's a complete piece, but he's actually a whole bunch of little pieces. And that's the same with the body of Christ. We are a whole bunch of pieces that are joined together to create one under the one head, which is Christ. And in that verse 4 and 5, it also said we are called to one hope. What is our one hope? Psalm 39 verse 7 says, "And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you." Psalm 119, 114, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." So our hope is Jesus and his word. It's himself, but it's also his words that he's spoken to us. His voice comes so clearly through his word as we know the truth and the hope to which we have been called. Titus 2, 11 to 13. I'll remember my ums when I take a sip of water. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is our hope, that Jesus is returning for this family, for this body, for this bride. That's his promise to us. And that's our great hope, is that we can know that no matter where we feel stuck in our everyday or in our circumstances or in our lives, or we feel like we're the only one in our sphere that knows about Jesus or has that hope. But you gotta know you're part of an army. You're part of this body that is, I mean, City Life is awesome, but do you know that there's a global church that is also part of this body? And they are ones that are confessing the name of Jesus, who are reading from his word every week, just like we do, hopefully every day as a follower of Jesus. They are your brothers and sisters. There is this big, huge family that we get to be a part of. You are not alone in your struggle. You are part of this great community with this one great hope in Christ. Verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. God's grace. He gives us the measure that is needed. And guess what? It's a daily dose that we get. I don't know if you've heard the scripture, you know, his mercies are new every morning. It is a daily thing. Because when we borrow tomorrow's troubles, man, it's really hard to think about getting to the end of next week or getting to the end of the month or whatever it is for you in this season. But know that God's grace is just for today. My grandma, who buried three husbands, she was asked, you know, when people were like, how are you dealing with this? And she said, you know, you don't get husband dying grace until your husband dies. And it's like, that's fair. So what I get for my life and situation is different than what God measures to you. His grace is sufficient for you. He is a good father who continues to give us grace as well to do this thing called the body of Christ with unity, being unified even in the challenging times where we need a lot of grace. Verse 8 to 10, these ones are a little strange, but we're going to learn today, and I love learning about the Bible, so I'm glad you're here with me. Okay, therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But he also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens and that he might fill all things. And Paul here is actually borrowing language from Psalm 68:18. And because Paul had the Bible, not the full Bible that we have, but he had the Old Testament. And that's what he actually learned from and grew in. And what Paul is saying, because in this psalm, it says that God comes down and he has this great victory. And then he shares the spoils or the plunder with the people of God. And in the same way, Jesus has come down to earth and won a great battle on the cross and has ascended up into heaven and divided the spoils with us and given us gifts. These are spiritual gifts. We all get spiritual gifts as part of the body of Christ. And you can read more about that in Romans 12 or in 1 Corinthians 12. Everybody gets a gift from God. And he fills all things. Yeah, woohoo, love it. Verse 11 and 12, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So this is a specific list about gifts where there's certain people who get gifts for the edification of the church, like meant to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So we are meant to actually, again, be equipped so that we can then serve and be representatives of Christ in our sphere so that we can carry on that word of God, his mission to the world, which is so good. Verse 13 goes on to say, until we attain to the unity. So again, unity is one of the goals of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, which is a forever uncovering. What a mystery our God is, that we continue to grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. So, unity is one of the goals. And spiritual maturity is also one of the goals that Paul is encouraging the Ephesians in. Verse 13, the second half says, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I was like, that's so good. And that came out of this translation because that word stature, it's measure in the NIV. And so this word stature, it hit me because I have prayed mostly over my son Kobe for all of his life, Luke 2:52, that he would grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And I've often pondered, it's like, can I pray that for myself? Because I'm full grown. You know, my dreams of being in the WNBA, they're gone. I'm not growing in stature, guys. This is it. 5'7", that's all you get. I might shrink, but I'm not going to grow. And so, can I still pray that? Can I pray that for myself or my husband or, you know, that you grow in wisdom and stature? It's like, do I leave that part out? And this was Jesus. This is how he grew. And this is awesome. But it hit me when I read this scripture. I was so excited. This is the Holy Spirit. I just love it. To the mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we are growing as a body of Christ in wisdom and stature. We are growing. That is the goal of the church, is that the kingdom of God would spread to every nation, every tribe and tongue, that we would be adding to this structure, that this little Lego guy would have, you know, all 7 billion, 8 billion, however many people there are, in his little body, he would be like this giant. Because he would grow in wisdom and stature. The numbers, you know, when that scripture that says that Jesus seems to be taking so long coming back, it's because he doesn't want anyone to perish. But each one to come to repentance, right? And have eternal life. He wants all the pieces of the body. I just thought that was so great. Maybe you're not as excited as I am, but I'm excited to become the full man. Unity, maturity. Okay, two marks of spiritual maturity because we want to know what it looks like. Okay, number one, accepting what is true and rejecting what is false. That can be tough. In a gray world. Verse 14 says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Okay, infants. Have you had an infant? Do you know an infant? Have you held an infant? Have you seen one at least? You would never look at a four-month-old baby and be like, oh, I can't believe you pooped your pants. Get out of here. Go change yourself before you come back into my presence. You wouldn't say that. That would be ridiculous. Because an infant needs a certain amount of care and attention. They require things of you. You know it. Yeah, the nodding heads of every parent is like, oh, they need so much. Anyway, it is the same when you are born again. When you are born again, and this isn't meant to be offensive, but you start out as an infant. You start out as a baby, and you need simple things, simple truths. You need the milk. Give me the milk. I need the milk. But then as we grow and mature, we need some solid food to be able to strengthen our bodies and equip us and ready us for what God has coming down the chute for us. Isn't that true? So we're no longer tossed by, oh, this idea, and that idea. It's like we have a bit of a foundation in God's word and in his truth. And we continue to seek that. We continue to grow. It's never done until the last breath, just like Melissa said. Thanks for saying that. That really helped me out. Sister, I love you. Okay. St. Augustine, oh, he's a wonderful historical theologian. He said, people hate the truth for the sake of whatever it is they love more than the truth. They love truth when it shines warmly on them and hate it when it rebukes them. Truth can be a tough pill to swallow. Do you like swallowing pills? I'm really bad at it. My family can attest to it. It's like, I hate it. And truth can be like that sometimes. You know, all jagged and feeling like not good. It's stuck. Not enough water. It won't get down. Anyway, and that's what verse 15 goes on to tell us. It's part of our unity, part of our maturity, speaking the truth in love. Oh, yeah. It's a tough one. It is really hard, but we will not grow unless we are rooted deeply in a community that has the balance of speaking truth in love. And it's such a tough thing to do because we are by nature, you know, one-sided. I stuck the tape on here so it would come off. Ah, look at me, I'm so smart. I'm just gonna put this up here. This is my truth and love wheel. There we go. Oh, dang, and it won't spin though. It will. It'll float around and it's truth and it's love. Is it truth? Is it love? It's both. Okay. Love without truth is deadly. The whole phrase, God loves everyone. Yeah, but we have to remember that sin separates us from God. A holy, just, righteous God cannot dwell with sin. So God calls us to repentance. God calls us to something that's beyond just this inclusive idea that says, you know, it's okay for everyone. It's an easy pill to swallow. No, God actually is jealous for us. He wants us so badly, and one day will come when we all stand before the judgment seat of God. But something that's important about our community is that we can't see ourselves unless someone else tells us. I don't know if anybody noticed this. Yeah, you probably did. But I didn't. I couldn't see it. I actually can't see it unless someone tells me. Like, have you ever had an itch in your teeth or something, you know? Or it flies down. I mean, a friend tells a friend those things. Let's be friends, okay? Let's be brothers and sisters that are okay with the embarrassing so that someone doesn't walk around with toilet paper on their shoe all day. That's what we need to do, is be willing to tell the truth even when it's a little bit challenging. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It's a bit of friction. It's a little bit uncomfortable. But guess what? We are brothers and sisters, and that's what we're called to do. So I said, love without truth is deadly. But we also got to know truth without love is also deadly. Right. When you're just jamming that truth down someone's throat, it's just like, right? No one takes it well. They don't listen. Their hearts are hard. Yeah. That's not effective. So we need to somehow live in this balance. And truthfully, the only way we can do that is through Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus is the perfect representation of both, of love and truth, spelled out perfectly for us. This is the truth, is that you are so lost, so without hope, condemned to hell, dead in your sins, that only the Son of God dying on the cross for you could save you. That's the truth. But love also was a big part of that decision. That huge distance that the Son of God had to come on our behalf was because he loved you so desperately. And that's why he chose to put his arms out and say, I love you so much that I'm going to die for you. And that is truth and love. And the only way that we can do that well is knowing the God who did it well for us, knowing the Father who does it on our behalf, to be mature and unified. The last scripture, from whom, verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when every part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We are meant to be that body of Christ that he's returning for, that temple. You know, we are the stones of this building, and Jesus as the chief cornerstone that holds it all together. And if you know yourself, without him, it does all just fall apart. It is through Christ that we can have true unity, true maturity. maturity, growing, continuing to grow. You're not done yet. None of us are done yet. I don't care how old or young or how many years you've been with Christ. It's not over yet. You can stand to your feet. When we have a clear revelation of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that we were so beyond hope, and yet he came to make us part of himself, to actually give us life, abundant life, as part of his body. He is, the Holy Spirit is the one that is the blood that's bringing oxygen to every ligament and joint. He is the one, and that's who we submit, surrender, come under his authority as our mighty Savior, our good and faithful God, part of his body. And we're just going to take a minute. I'm just going to actually take 30 seconds. This is wrap up. Oh, yeah. Okay, 30 seconds, just to give you a minute, just to reflect on the goodness of God, what he's accomplished. He's done for you and me. It can just rise up within us this thanksgiving, a thankful heart, thankful for what Jesus has done. Ah, what a reason to celebrate. I know Thanksgiving is a statutory holiday, but it is the church that can be truly thankful for what Christ has done, what we have in him. And we're just going to pray together. You can repeat these words after me. If you're ready to just be part of this body of Christ, submitted to his authority, coming under his leading and guiding, full surrender, just repeat these words after me. Jesus, I am broken. Jesus, I am a sinner. I fall short of being right and perfect. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for making a way for me to be brought back into relationship with you. You are truly the one hope of my life. You are the greatest above all things. I can't earn my way to you, but I accept the gift of salvation. I accept the gift you offer to me to make me new, to come into my life and change me. I want to follow you, to follow your ways, to know your truth, to be part of your body. Thank you for forgiving me and not leaving me on my own. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.